What's coming next really is two guys telling war stories as they retire. I'm in my last weeks as president of Interfaith Alliance before my own retirement, and director of outreach and operations Jay Keller has failed to reach his 15th anniversary here by just days, wrapping up his tenure last Thursday. While nobody claims that life at Interfaith Alliance is as hilarious as the office, neither is it the sterile policy shop that one might imagine, despite the fact that issues of religious freedom regularly take on a seriousness up to and including matters of life and death. And so to pull back the curtain on both the highs and lows of life at the Alliance, and to celebrate a truly devoted participant in both, who also happens to be one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet, I'm happy to welcome Jay Keller to State of Belief Radio. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jack. It's good to be with you.
Well, it is good to have you here, even if there's a bittersweet quality to all of this. So listen, it's funny that we're together face-to-face in the studio today after the past couple of years where COVID kept us isolated in our home offices. I think we've probably seen each other four or five times since 2 years ago, March 19th. You're such a people person. How did these restrictions and isolations have an impact on you?
Well, it's been interesting to adapt to this Zoom world that we've lived in. And luckily, I've got a very good family life. I have a son who lives close by, another son who lives in California, and my wife. And so we've been managing to get out and walk around and see things and see people in person, if masked, over the last few years. So that's been a good thing. And I do miss the ability to do some travel with Interfaith Alliance that we've done in the past and to see people face to face. It's we joked when we got together for our last staff gathering and people looked taller than we thought they would or just different. And it was kind of an interesting realization to see people not on a 13 or 15 inch screen and see them in person.
I certainly looked wider than I did when you saw me.
As we did all we did. Yep.
So, listen, I know that that 15 years ago was a different time in your life, and things were very different when you came to Interfaith Alliance also. Can you talk about what drew you to Interfaith Alliance all those years ago and why?
Sure. Well, I started out working on government change with Common Cause before years ago, and my wife was actually born in Pakistan, and when we got married, we took a year off and traveled, and we went to such fabulous vacation resorts as the Congo and to Pakistan and to India and to Nepal. And my wife, having grown up in a predominantly Muslim country, was my first exposure to really Muslims and to Hindus in India and other diverse faiths that are over there. And it fascinated me. I think the more you get involved in interfaith work, the more you see how much we have in common. And I think that thread of looking for ways to bring people together was something that really attracted me to Interfaith Alliance. And I had a good friend who had done some consulting with Interfaith Alliance who said, oh, it's a great group of people. They do great work. And so that really led me to kind of look at it more closely.
So, you know, I'm not allowed to ask a question like this of people who are coming into a job. But since today's your last day, I can. I don't want to sound too much like Lindsey Graham, but tell me about your own faith.
Sure. Well, I was raised in a Presbyterian family, was in youth fellowship, was in the choir. My parents taught, my dad taught youth classes. My mom was very involved. It was a church that my parents were involved in, my grandparents, my great-grandparents were involved in. And I just love that tradition. But the older I got, the more I think I saw the spiritual side of things in many other different faiths. And it's led much more to an appreciation of those faiths, but also an appreciation for different ways to kind of follow my spiritual path. And we've got very close friends across the street. And every Sunday, we go with them and another neighbor with their dog, and we go hiking through Rock Creek Park or other parks around the area. And we call ourselves, it's the Church of the Sunday Hike. And it's a way to connect with nature and with our sense of a higher being, a higher spiritual being. And so I, you know, I'm not a regular church goer, but I have a deep appreciation for those who do go. And I think there are many different ways to kind of follow your own spiritual path.
I'm glad you got an opportunity to articulate that for us. So you came to us from an organization that did primarily government relations and into the religious freedom area. What did you want to achieve or feel that you were about to do when you joined Interfaith Alliance all those years ago?
Well, I thought the story of Interfaith Alliance, I mean, when I came on board, really, we had kind of had a motto of that faith should never be used as a weapon. It should be something that has a healing force to it. And that's something that attracts me very much because I see the very positive power of faith, but I've also seen how it's been abused and misused over the years. And I think that attraction to our first discussions when I first met you, Jack interviewed me before I had the job when he was chair of the board, was, I just thought, a very positive way to look at faith and look at different beliefs out there. So I think that drew me to the organization and made me think, yeah, this is a way to really bring people together on a positive note. As you said, I'm kind of more of an optimist on life, and so I'm constantly looking for things like that.
So as you look at the line that you draw from the time you began until now, what kind of progress do you think we've made under your influence and others?
Definitely under others. Well, I think when I joined, it was a time when way back in 2007, there were a lot of people that were talking about the religious right is dead. We don't have to worry about these issues anymore. And I think there was a great diversification of the efforts to work on some of our issues. And I think we still managed to rally and rebuild when we kind of shrunk a little bit over the years. To become, I think, a much, much stronger organization today, kind of lean and mean, or not so mean, but lean and good-natured on stuff. but we've pulled people together. I mean, the passage of the hate crimes legislation was a tremendous victory that's a partial victory. I mean, it's stuff that you have to continue to work on. I worked on campaign finance reform for 5 years, and you kind of thought like, oh, this is never going to get accomplished. So I think the work that we're in is very much a long-term work. It's stuff that has to be ongoing. It's like education. You don't educate people and stop. You keep on going with this.
My guess is you came in with some expectations of the things you would be doing. And my guess is there were things you never thought you would be doing. What are the preconceived ideas that you had that were reinforced over the years? And tell me at least one thing that surprised you.
Yeah. Well, when I came in, I was hired as the director of kind of grassroots operations. And that's something I've always enjoyed and appreciated, of working with grassroots activists all across the country. And that's something that I just enjoy. I enjoy people. I enjoy the diversity of opinions that I get exposed to. The stuff that was a little bit more surprising may have been more of the operations side of things. I became the IT point person in the organization that was mostly PCs, and I'm a Mac user, and so I had to learn some of those things. And I've had to learn terminology and technology that I had no idea I had any skills, and still I'm not quite sure I have lots of skills in those areas, so I'm happy to pass them on to others who do. I think what didn't surprise me is just finding out how many good people there are out there that we get a chance to work with.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We mentioned a program called LEAD at the top of the discussion, and that's LEADD. I know that was one of the signature programs that you took a great deal of pride in. Can you talk about LEAD a little bit?
Sure. LEAD was a great program that the Davidoffs kind of came up with, because at a time, you know, civics education in the United States is just not something we do much focusing on. And so they really came up with the idea of doing a civics program. Originally, we did it as a week-long kind of summer camp with high school students to bring them in to educate them about civics in America and the role of religion in America, both from the founders all the way through today. So We brought usually anywhere from 20 to 30 kids together for first a week, and then it became a weekend program, as diverse as we could find it. When we did the Oklahoma program, I think we had 22 kids from 16 different faith traditions. You know, Jewish kids that had never met a Muslim before, Hindus that had never met a Christian. It was just very, very diverse and a great group. And as I said, we did kind of a night of kind of introduction, and people were allowed to ask any questions they wanted to about, you know, other faith traditions. You know, Catholics, aren't you kind of cannibalistic? You do the blood of Christ and you think it transforms into blood. And Catholics kind of going, wow, you're right. We hadn't thought of it in those terms. Or kids saying, Muslims, how do you survive a month of not eating or drinking? It's like, then you had to explain Ramadan. So it was a great experience. And what was amazing is at the end of every one of the camps that we did, kids came away saying, God, we've got so much more in common than we have in difference. And that was a very powerful thing. I think we had about 250 kids who went through the program over the years from 2005 to 2012. It was just a great program. And we learned a lot about how to talk about these issues.
So, you know, it's funny, Jay, you've been the epitome of discretion during all of our years together. I've never heard you say a negative word about anybody, at least nothing I would acknowledge publicly. And as long as you're director of outreach and operations, which is, as we're taping this, just another few hours, you would maintain that. But tomorrow you'll be officially retired, and then this program will air after that. So how about some piece of insider gossip or secrets that that we can let loose?
Yeah, I don't really have any great juicy pieces of gossip that I can tell about things. I mean, it's mostly, you know, funny stories about you know, things that we did and had to do over the years, and scrambling when we had to make up for little glitches in the system. We had one weekend I came in and we got into the office and the entire server had just kind of died and we were scrambling to get a new server. But there are things that as I said, it was just a great trip all along the way, not with some ups and downs. I was in the office for 15 years, and I think I moved 8 times into different offices. So we had a little bit of a sliding around transition from place to place.
And moving man was one of your one of your other talents.
Yes, yes. Isa Tuhide, our director of finance and HR, and Ariel Gingell, who was our old director of policy. One weekend, we put everything in a moving van, and we moved it to our new place, which was over in the World Wildlife Federation building, which is now was taken over by President Obama. That's his new office.
There you go. Talk about some of the folks other than me that you've had a chance to work with during your time.
Hey, Jack, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is the producer, but we have an urgent telephone call for Jay that we have to take right now.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good.
How is this day for you?
Oh, it's a little bit surreal. It's interesting after almost 15 years to be signing off.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am so glad that I can get to speak to you this morning. I have been thinking about you all this week, and also wanted to speak about you today. You know, Jay, from day one, when you became a part of Interfaith Alliance, I never really thought of you about having a job with us as much as seeing you work with a commitment that had been most of your life. You believed in what Interfaith Alliance was doing, and across the years, I think you touched responsibly and contributed helpfully to every single part of what has happened in Interfaith Alliance. I can't think of anything you didn't do, and I know that Jack, as well as me, is grateful for the diversity of ways in which you made us a better and stronger organization. You worked more out of devotion to the values of Interfaith Alliance than what was on your job description. I could not count the number of times that I was somewhere in the United States calling you on the phone to give me a direction that I needed to carry out my responsibility. The truth is that you taught me much more than I ever learned, and that is why I still often call you today when I need your guidance, and I'm not going to quit calling you just because you're in retirement.
That sounds good, Welton. I often thought that my job description, the other duties as assigned, was the much larger portion of my job, but it's always made life interesting and enjoyable.
Well, I hope today is a good day, and I'll look forward to us having a conversation in the future about what's going on with you and with me and what I'm needing.
I count on that, Welton. I look forward to continuing our friendship and wish you well, and wish you and Judy both well.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Caller, before you go, can I ask one question?
Sure.
Who is this?
Who is this?
Is, of course, Reverend Welton Gaddy, my predecessor and the usual host of State of Belief Radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Welton.
Okay, thank you.
Where were we? Who are some of the unforgettable friends and allies you've met?
Oh, boy, there's so many. I think of so many of the different affiliate leaders, from Connie Ryan to the two Carls, one in Wyoming and one in Pennsylvania, to Judy Cross in Idaho. Just, you know, really legendary people that were very inspiring to me. I had a chance to travel once with Bishop Jane Holmes Dixon, of beloved memory, who was a member of the staff and just a cherished member of the interfaith community. We went out to Iowa for a swing, and she spoke at one of their annual dinners. And just the funniest person. I mean, you meet a bishop, and you kind of expect them to be very staid. And Bishop Jane was just one of the funniest people I've ever met, and just a great person.
I remember going on a road trip with her, and she picked me up in her pickup truck, and all the way there told me the hilarious story of how she and Diane Rehm went to a dealership to buy that truck and had to persuade the salesperson that it was for them and not for one of their husbands.
Yep.
Anybody else you can think of?
Well, I've had great conversations with Welton over the years. Sometimes for IT support, he'll call me on things. He called me one day with a conundrum. He couldn't get his scanner to work, and I finally got him to use his camera to show us how it was plugged in, and he had plugged it into the Ethernet port of his computer. I was mystified of how he was able to even do that. But great people all along. We did a great road trip up for the 10th anniversary of the Pennsylvania affiliate. So it's just, you know, it's just great people all along. All the lead faculty, Glenn and Chipper Johnson, have just been longtime supporters of the organization and of the lead program over the years, and were faculty members. And just, you know, people that gave their time and their efforts to the organization out of just a commitment to this idea of protecting those boundaries between religion and government.
So we have a lot of folks who do not believe that it's possible for people from different faith perspectives to get on the same track on anything. Do you have any secrets about how you've succeeded in getting folks from so many different backgrounds, from so many different locations, from so many different ideologies, to pull together in the same direction?
I mean, I think it really is just kind of talking to people on a very personal level and just bringing them together and figuring out what we have in common. I think that that's so important. I think, you know, Interfaith Alliance, we have a lot of members who are people of different faiths, but we also have a lot of members who are people who don't follow any faith at all. And I think that common humanity, that appeal to it, and kind of the funny things, I think it's good to have some jokes or to have some, you know, discussions where it's a little bit of levity in there that's really good. I'm struck just by a thing prior to my being Interfaith Alliance. Ann and I were in Pakistan at a time when there was conflict between the U.S. and Iran. And we were walking downtown and there were a huge demonstration of Pakistanis that saying, we will support our brothers in Iran. And if America attacks Iran, we will attack them with our F-16s. And Ann and I were kind of very quietly trying to get by this crowd. And this one guy comes up to us and looks at us and says, you're American, aren't you? And we were kind of like, ah. And he said, don't worry, this is just about the governments. We love Americans. And it was just this kind of moment that really broke the hard part of this moment of seeing a big, huge crowd that we thought was anti-American and they were not. So I think that going through the personal stuff is very important to do.
It's great. Jay, was there ever a time when you thought to yourself, I just got to get out of here?
Well, maybe more recently when I just kind of thought about, like, you know, I think when your job as other duties is assigned and you kind of work through those things, there comes a point in your life where you go like, okay, the other duties that are assigned need a greater intellect than I have. And I need to get out of this and we need to get some younger people in who understand that either the technology or, you know, whatever and can kind of work on these things. So I think, you know, there is that sense of passing the torch on to the next generation of people. And we've got some terrific new people on our staff that are going to be just great. And I look forward to being involved as a supporter and just hearing what's going on and being an activist as I leave.
And I know also that your very devoted wife had a large role to play in persuading you that now that she is retired, you could go out and play together and have a good time.
Anna retired in May, and she's been having entirely too much fun, and that kind of inspired me. She's gotten involved in doing some Afghan refugee resettlement, which is great. And so we're looking for different opportunities to get involved. I'm on the board of a group called Lunch and Learn in Tacoma Park, and we put together programs in the summer for school kids, so they're both learning about things and getting lunches so they don't lose out on a summer of education. And I'm also I've been the long-term chair. It kind of sometimes feels like a lifetime commitment of the Tacoma Park Recreation and Community Engagement Committee. So that's also just a fun group of people.
So you're about to become a supporter instead of an employee, a staff member of Interfaith Alliance. Make the case to all the other supporters out there about why you will continue to support and they should continue to support Interfaith Alliance.
Sure, sure. Well, it's obviously an organization that I worked at not just for the paycheck but for the commitment to
I can affirm that. It was definitely not just for the paycheck.
But the commitment to the work that we do, and it's tremendously important. And I think anybody who reads the paper or sees what's been going on since, you know, the last few years knows that we need to continue to work on these issues. And it's not stuff that's going away. It's a lifelong commitment and hopefully an intergenerational commitment, and people get their kids involved. I know both my sons have given to the organization. My brother's given to the organization. My sister has. So it's stuff that you need to talk to friends and family about continuing our important work.
I will say to you that you've done an excellent job of giving people who are listening an insight into one of the reasons it has been such a delight to work with you, both as a volunteer, as I was when you first came aboard, and as a professional, as I have been for the past 7 years. There is no one I would rather see at the beginning of the day, other than my wife, who can lift my spirits and give me a sense that what we're doing is going to succeed. Jay Keller has just begun his well-earned retirement after almost 15 years at Interfaith Alliance, where he held the title of Director of Outreach and Operations. Jay, to say we'll miss you, I'll miss you, is a ridiculous understatement. But I'm glad that we could do this today, and I could publicly say thank you for everything you've brought to the organization, to the causes we fight for, and to me personally. Godspeed, my friend.
Thank you, Jack, and thanks to all the listeners and supporters of Interfaith Alliance.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, go team. I'm Jack Moline, and that's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man, you see.